The next case to be heard this morning is D. Mark Fife and Patricia Fife versus Greene County Board of Revision. That's number 2007-2213. Mr. Gorey.
I thank the court. My name is James Gorey, and I represent the appellant county auditor and the county board of revision. This case deals with the question of whether 18.7 acres of land was entitled to the CAUV. It's a question of whether woodland would qualify. Just picture it, the 10-acre tract and the 8.7-acre tract located along the front of a road. House, some outbuildings located on this end along the front. There's scrub, creek, pasture land, and then back across the two parcels is 14 acres of woods. We're focusing on the woods. As the court's aware, the CAUV is a real property tax exemption, a very substantial one, 85, 90, 95% exemption each year as long as the property is devoted exclusively to an agricultural purpose. The critical point is that 5713.30A1 and A2 require the land to be used in the current year, June of the current year. In this case, we're talking about 2005, and for the three prior years. In this case, that would be 04, 03, and 02. Two critical issues in this case are, one, that Mr. and Mrs. Fife were not using the land for an agricultural use as defined in 5713.30A1A2. Now, even if this court would find that they were using land for an agricultural purpose, the evidence is quite clear that they were not using it for that purpose for all of the three prior years required by the statute.
Did the Board of Tax Appeals make a specific finding about the 3 years?
not a specific finding. Directing court's attention to page 10 of the BTA decision, it's the last paragraph. It says, in the instant matter, the record is replete, and that's wrong, replete with evidence that the subject's roughly 14 acres of wooded area have been committed to the commercial production of timber during the 3 years prior to the 2005 application year. That's incorrect, pure and simple.
Well, when you say it's incorrect, are you saying there's, because this court usually defers to factual findings, is there no evidence of that?
Yes, there is no evidence. Okay. The 10-acre tract was purchased by the Fifes in September of 2003. The 8.7-acre tract was purchased by the Fifes in October of 2004. So they didn't even own the property for part of the three-year period. Mr. Fife testified that he began to do work. That was his word, work, in 2003. He did not define that work. He did not identify that work. He did not tell us what it was. He didn't tell us that it had anything to do with timber production, woodland conservation. There is no evidence, in other words, that the land was used for 02. No evidence other than the statement that Mr. Fife began work for 03.
What, was there a previous CAUV?
Yes. The land had qualified for the CAU in prior years, including, 1998 up to 2004 and prior years.
Well, then the prior CAUV encompassed some of that three-year period that you're talking about.
That is correct. It is our position I think it had been the historical interpretation of these provisions, that merely because you were on the CAUV for prior years does not mean that you qualified for the CAU in when the CAUV, when there's a revocation of the CAUV, and then you come back and try to re-qualify for it.
But I guess that leads me to a question about the way you were talking about the evidence. I thought you were saying there was no evidence that the fiefs themselves.
There is no evidence that the fiefs themselves. Furthermore, Mr. Fife testified that his father, who owned the land, did not engage in any timbering activities, conservation practices on the land. His testimony was his father is getting on in years. The last work on the property was done in 1998.
What was there evidence about the predecessor owners of the property and their use of the property? And is that relevant?
No, it's not. It's not relevant. The statute says qualify in the current year plus the three prior years.
Okay.
It's just that we focus on those years. We don't care what happened in the past. Specifically answer your question, there was Mr. and Mrs. Fife presented this forest stewardship plan that they got from the BT or from the ODNR. It did say that a few trees were cut down in 1998, and Mr. Fife, I think, testified himself that harvest took place in 1998 and in prior years. So anyway, so even if, just to conclude on this point, even if what went on this property in 2004, 2005 qualified the land for current agricultural use, we have no evidence that 2002 and 2003 the land met the qualifications. Therefore, there was no exemption for 2005. The county auditor was correct in recouping, taking the property off the CAUV for 2005. And Mr. and Mrs. Fife would have to wait a couple years to get it back on. The main point is that land upon which no timber is going to be cut or has been cut for 19 years is simply not entitled to the CAUV. Again, the test is whether the land is currently being used for a CAUV purpose and whether it was used for that purpose in the three prior years. Now, in our opinion, you have to cut some timber down, at least during that 3-4 year period. One tree. In this case, no timber had been cut down since 1998. Mrs. Fife testified that none was going to be cut down for another 10 years from the summer of 2007. That's 19 years.
So again, we're facing a decision of the BTA. We usually defer to their fact finding, but is this part of your argument? You're saying there's a legal standard at issue here?
I'm saying that, yes, the legal standard is that the statute, 5713.30A1 or A2, A1 being the case because we're dealing with over 10 acres, requires timber to be cut down during one of those 4 years, one tree. Then the land is devoted exclusively to an agricultural use as required by the Constitution. I'm saying you have to, each one of those years, you have to cut timber from the land. We're prepared to say, broadly speaking, during any of those 4 years, cut down a tree. The BTA is saying you don't have to cut down a tree in 19 years. That's unreasonable, that's unlawful. If you're going to allow the BTA to say that, then at the very least, you must require the property owners to be engaged in some concrete timber management activities. And as we indicated in our brief, Mr. and Mrs. Fife were engaged in good woodland conservation practices to maintain the health and vigor of the woods that is on their home site. And that doesn't constitute concrete evidence to justify a CAUV when you testify that you're not going to cut down a tree in 19 years.
Well, wasn't there other evidence of agricultural uses? There was some grazing and other activities?
All of those activities are consistent with a non-commercial, non-production of timber use. It's good conservation, good woodland practices. There isn't a single activity that suggests that in 10 years they will cut down a tree. No professional management hire, no contracts to cut timber, no idea of how much profits will be made in 10 years, no marking of trees, no nothing to indicate that in 10 years a single tree will be cut down.
Now, you had said that previously this one or both of these parcels were enjoyed the CAUV treatment. And that was that under prior owners?
That is correct.
When the county auditor changes this, what standard does she use for saying, oh, now we must remove it?
There is a process by which an annual renewal application that even applies when there's a change of land or a change of ownership. So the CAUV is not automatically, it's not even typically taken away when there's a change of ownership. The new property owner simply files a new application, and there's a statutory process by which the county auditor must notify the owner, because sometimes the new owner forgets to file. What happened in this case was the county auditor did an actual on-site inspection. This is not an annual thing. In rural counties, they get around to looking at it, you know, every 6-7 years. An actual on-site inspection indicated there were no agricultural activities, no timber cutting activities, no activities of any substantial kind taking place on the land, and based upon the on-site inspection, the county auditor revoked the CAUV for 2005. That's how this came about. Finally, we don't think there's any evidence in the record that the Fifes were using the property for the commercial, quote unquote, commercial production of timber. We think when the statute requires the commercial production of timber, it's talking about business. It's talking about farmers who engage in farming for a business. This is a home site. This is part of the Fife's home site. They're maintaining the woods for health and vigor and attractiveness and appearance. There is no indication that over this 19-year period, any substantial sums of money will ever be produced by cutting timber down. Now, in 1998, they cut timber 85 trees, and they made $8,000. All right, now, 20 years later, they make another $8,000. That doesn't even meet the $2,500 test that's applied when you have less than 10 acres. That's not the commercial production of timber. Maybe the production of timber, but not commercial. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey. Mr. Ferguson.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Lester Ferguson, and I represent Mark Fife and Patricia Fife, who are here in the room with me this morning. It's interesting to listen to the presumed facts that Mr. Gorey set forth that really aren't the facts set forth in the record. As you know, every case is a combination of facts and law. The facts in this case that were clearly established by the record, number one, there was an 18.7 parcel, two parcels because they were in two townships, but there's a contiguous parcel of land. 1 acre home site, 3 acres pasture land that was being rented to a farmer who paid annual rent, and 14.7 acres of commercial woodland. Those facts were established, and they're set forth in the decision on page 1 and page 3 of the decision by the Board of Tax Appeals. Second fact that was established was that the CAUV was granted prior to the purchase by the appellees. That's set forth in the transcript on page 61, lines 21 through 23. The next fact that was established that I'll call your attention to was that the property is used for commercial production of timber and has been every year since 1943. The testimony is replete within the record that the appellee's father and grandfather had used this property for timber production starting in 1943. and referenced especially in transcript page 91, line 9 through 92, line 10. Next one I would call your attention to is the trees that are not yet mature on this property, and they need further cultivation before harvest. Everything has a life cycle. Pigs can be brought to market in less than 6 months. Trees cannot be brought to market in 6 months. And these trees were deciduous trees. And the Supreme Court has before it other cases that have clearly established that the tree life for a deciduous tree may be 30 years, 20, 30 years for maturity. These trees cannot just be harvested once every 3 or 4 years. There needs to be a maturity to have a commercial production harvest. Again, the transcript that cites that, I call the court's attention to page 40, line 22 through page 41, line 1. The sole purpose, according to the testimony, the sole purpose of the expenses incurred by Appalese and work done by Appalese was to make the commercial timber more productive. Commercial timber more productive. Transcript page 81, lines 13 through 18. The Appalese testified that they worked on the property. In fact, Mr. Fife worked on the property while his father owned it and helped his father. And when his father got a little older and was not able to do some of the work or simply didn't want to do it, Mr. Fife, the Appalese, did the work. So while the father may not have actually done the work was being done. It was commercial property, timber.
Mr. Ferguson, I think what the county is saying is when they look at this from the standpoint of granting or not granting the CAUV tax status, they have to see, apply whatever criteria they can apply. And all of what you're saying makes a lot of sense, but if they look at it and they see activity, that might be consistent with non-commercial use, and they don't see activity that one might expect, such as harvesting perhaps some of the trees within a time frame, how do you respond to the concern that the county has to have some criterion for distinguishing the commercial versus non-commercial use, and how should that be done?
Well, that's a good question, and certainly one needs to take a look at what activity has been done and is being done. And in this particular case, there was a state forester plan that had been presented. The county was aware of that. Actually, the county auditor was aware of that prior to the presentation to the Board of Revision. And the Board of Revision was aware of that. State forester plan had actually had a very detailed written plan as to what needed to be done, how it needed to allow the trees to mature, certain trees, how other trees need to be culled, the process of culling, the process of removing the honeysuckle and some of the other plants or trees that would not be productive, as well as removing some trees either by girdling to prevent future growth or actual removal that would allow the productive trees, those that had some commercial value, to be produced. So I'm not saying that the county auditor would necessarily be able to tell just by driving by. And I know for a fact, and it's not a testimony in the record because it never has been a part of the record, but this particular auditor on this county has kind of taken it as a personal position that she will attempt to have every wooded area declared as non-qualifying for CAUV, and has actually addressed County Auditors Association concerning that. She's taken that position. And if she does that, that may be all right. But once the decision has been made to do that, or the challenge that it's not qualifying, and then there's a state forestry plan and the testimony before the Board of Revision, at that point in time, I think that's where the county auditor should have reversed her position and decision. The Board of Revision followed her take, and of course she sat on the Board of Revision and was one of the three votes, and quite frankly as a dominating person, and I don't mean that in disrespect, she's a powerful presenter of her opinion, and certainly sways a number of people in various situations. But the testimony before the Board of Tax Appeals clearly established that there was that. In fact, the decision in the transcript before the Board of Tax Appeals references the state forester who had presented a plan and how this plan was being worked by the Fifes and had been worked by the predecessor of the Fifes, Mr. Fife, when he owned the property. So your question's a good question, and I understand that if the person goes out as an auditor one day cannot determine that.
What effect, if any, as a legal matter, does the fact that it had the CAUV status beforehand, does that have any?
Well, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. That doesn't mean that because it had it beforehand, it necessarily qualifies now. I mean, I don't want to get that confusing, but it's been throughout. I'm involved in a lot of real estate matters in a rural community, in a farming community, and there are many times that farmland changes ownership, and if the purchaser of the next parcel or the parcel that was purchased had to wait 3 years and requalify, we would have a nightmare. Certainly there is the fact that it had previously qualified builds that in. Now obviously if it doesn't continue to qualify, then the exemption should be lost. I don't deny that.
Is it necessary, there's the grazing and there are other agricultural activities, and I guess my question is it necessary that the woodlands were subjected to a current commercial use for the CAUV status to apply, or would it have been still appropriate to have CAUV status without the actual commercial use of the woodland?
The court is undoubtedly well aware of the Dickerson case, which indicated that there was about 5 acres out of, I think, 25 that was being used for commercial agriculture, and the other 21 acres, I guess it was 26 acres, the other 21 acres was not commercial. And there's a distinction between that case and this case. And in that case, I believe the Supreme Court properly held that the woodland did not qualify because it was not commercial. In this case, it is clearly commercial. And that's the finding of fact by the Board of Tax Appeals. And I want to point out that the transcript clearly shows that the commercial property that was being produced, or black walnut, hackberry, elm, black locust, and black cherry, transcript page 20, line 7 through 13, and that these are deciduous trees, and therefore they cannot be a clear-cut harvest. In other words, you don't go in like a combine when a wheat field and just take everything down. You go in and selectively remove those trees that have matured. And again, that's transcript page 24. I'm sorry. It's line 24, transcript page 104 through page 106, line 18. I'd like to address the law for just a second. As the court is well aware, and Mr. Corey has indicated, 5713.30 is the applicable provision that applies here. And Mr. Corey perhaps inadvertently made an incorrect statement. There's nothing in the statute that requires cutting. Section A1, and I'll just read the selective applicable portions, property not less than 10 acres, that's this, devoted to the production for commercial purpose of timber. Now, is this property devoted to the commercial production of timber? The answer is yes, according to the testimony. Unrefuted, unrebutted evidence to that effect, and found so by the Board of Tax Appeals. Now let's take a look at what production is. Production is not cutting. It's not sale. Supreme Court said even in a case where there's racehorses that, you know, the grazing of horses, even though there's no sale, doesn't make any difference. You can graze them forever and not sell anything. Production, according to Webster, it's the process of producing, the creation of value. It's not cutting, it's growing. To use an analogy, let's assume that we had somebody who wanted to become an NFL football player, and they decided that when they were 11 or 12 years old. And you know, they're going to be the greatest quarterback or linebacker or defensive tackle or whatever, and their parents are pushing them, and their coaches say, man, you can do it, you're going to be great. Does that mean that they go into the NFL at age 14 or 16? Absolutely not. There's a maturing process. Physically, mentally, in every respect. The same thing is true with the production of deciduous trees. It's not like you go out and milk the cow twice a day or three times a day. That tree has to grow. And so production, in this case, was the creation of value. Now, how was value created? Value was created by removing improper trees or weeds or honeysuckle or whatever else might have been there. Okay. So I would also like the court to take a review. I can't state it any better than I think that the Board of Tax Appeals did on its decision in page 10. And in closing, I just want to kind of read that. In the instant matter, the record is replete with evidence that the subject's roughly 14 acres of wooded area have been committed to the commercial production of timber during the 3 years prior to 2005 application year. The appellant's detailed testimony of their ongoing work, consistent with the written plan of a forester, supports a finding that the wooded area of the property is devoted exclusively to commercial production of timber. We've previously held that we must be able to discern a modium of activity designed to further the growth of timber for commercial purposes. Elmore and Tambro Super. Here is an ample and unrebutted evidence of activity taken to grow timber for commercial production for 3 years prior to the 2005 application. The subject's wooded area is more than simply a treed parcel. Further, the testimony and evidence supports that 3 acres of the pasture have been actively and exclusively used for the grazing of pasture. I respectfully submit that there really is no proper alternative but to sustain and uphold the Board of Tax Appeals' decision. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Ferguson. Mr. Gore, you've reserved 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And I'd like to ask you, too, to focus, if you could, on just if there were a legal standard here that you felt that the board had misapplied, if you could articulate that and what the court would say about that, too.
Yes. Our position as to the legal standard is, one, 57.15.13 A1 and A2 require the use of the land for the production of timber as a crop. Timber as a crop. They must prove to the property owner must prove to the BTA that they are devoting the land to the production of a crop. That crop happens to be timber. I have trees in my backyard and I pay some minimal attention to them. I am not producing timber. Woodland is not timber. Timber is the crop. Okay. Second, there must be some significant commercial timber producing activities during the current year and the three prior years. And that's, so we have two problems.
Well, and I guess the point that's being made on the other side is that the statute says production for a commercial purpose of timber, and that production process could take a long period of time.
We have no doubt about that. What we think the statute requires, and we think the Constitution requires, and we think you and I require, because tax exemptions increase our tax liability, is that the property owner come before us and present some concrete evidence that a single tree will ever be cut down. Now, the problem is if you're going to allow the property owner to say, well, my intent in 10 years is to cut down a tree, 15 years, 8 years, whatever. I don't promise that I'll cut down a tree, but I might. We think the statutes and the Constitution require some evidence, some concrete evidence that possibility will be fulfilled, that the promise will be carried out. You simply can't say, in 10 years, I'm going to cut down a tree.
Well, but the BTA said that it had evidence before it of that, including this forestry plan, and your position is that that's not sufficient. Position is that there has to be, within the appropriate period of time, there has to actually be a harvest of the timber.
Or proof of some action that is different in kind from good woodland conservation, maintenance purposes, those kinds of activities that you and I would carry out if we've got an acre of woods and we want to maintain the health and vigor of those woods.
Okay.
Some act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gorey. This case will be submitted, and the court will advise the parties of its decision.